Blog Talk Radio.
Is doing the best they can in the condition and the place that they're in. Because trust and believe, change is coming. Change is a coming. Oh boy, they had a name for this broadcast is a political moment. And I must say, you know, forgive me, and I reach out my sincere apologies if I ever misspell words related to the broadcast or anything, you know, forgive me for that, because I am human. I do spell check sometimes, but not always. And there's sometimes there are places where we can do spell checks and there's places where we can't. So if you can just make out what the word intends to mean, then we're okay. So anyhow, the name of the broadcast today is A Political Moment. A Political Moment. And it's a pretty interesting time that we're in the world of politics. And now, I hope and pray that everybody went and looked at the map of ancient Palestine, like I explained and shared on my previous broadcast, one of my prior broadcasts. I think that's very important. That you go back and look at, you know, Palestine, and now look at, you know, how much land area that Israel controls. I think it's very imperative that we, as a civilized, knowledge-based people, understand the reality and the relativity of that situation there. It's going to play a big part, a huge and dynamic part in the days ahead, in the times to come. It plays a huge and monumental part of our history in terms of spirituality versus religion, and it will continue and will be a huge part of our future going forward. There is a lot of correctness that is taking place right here and now. There is a lot of correctness taking place right here and now, and it is a prophesized correctness, and it is the will of God. It is played out, and it is the will of God. The will of the Creator, the will of the Hallowed. And there's no doubt, absolutely no doubt in that. Okay, so it's an amazing thing if you're really tuned in as I try to, you know, align my guests and align people around the world, align the ears of influence to this reality, to this inevitable reality. Because, you know, just because there's wealth, you know, families and power families and masses of, you know, wealth throughout the world that actually control, you know, the evolution of mankind, or, you know, attempt to control, there is also the will of God. And nothing and no one can come up over that. No matter how hard they would try to go against the will of God, or they would mount their monetary power against this will, against the ultimate and the almighty will of God, they shall never prevail. And the amazing thing about it is that I think that it's been tested and tempted over the periods of time. And here we are today in this positioning that is, you know, was prophesied, you know, I say better than 6,000 years ago. And it's almost to the letter and to the T in its positioning in the here and now. Today is June the 14th. Of the year 2015, and prophecy and the will of God is fulfilling itself right now and even as we speak. It's an amazing and beautiful thing. Okay, so the name of the broadcast today is a political moment, and I just felt kind of a, I guess an epiphany to share this moment with the world, and I'm sure that the authors of our evolution, you know, our moral evolution, you know, are tuned into this as well, because they are really helping to perpetuate, to create and perpetuate this movement. And and I think, I really and truly think and feel and I pray that they are becoming enlightened to the will of God in our human evolution, and knowing that, you know, no weapon or no force mounted against the will of God shall stand, or, you know, shall prevail, and that they can actually, and we can actually, you know, take this power, this wealth and this power, and move it in a righteous direction, you know, and make the one world government or the one world order, as we progress to that point, you know, do it in a righteous way and for the will of God, for the betterment of all humanity. This is what they should do, they must do, and they had best do. And the reason I say that is because they fall under the same judgment, the same ultimate judgment in the hereafter. Now, it was interesting because I'm gonna touch on this spiritually again, because I'm led to do this so we can, everybody can be in the reality of what spirituality, what it is really and truly all about. I'm gonna do it quickly and in a nutshell. Now, and you've heard me say this before, and the reason it comes up because an associate of mine, a friend of mine, and he is over a pretty good size, they're church people right now, but they're converting to a spiritual movement, okay? I'm certainly, you know, working and assisting them in doing so, because now they're starting to understand what oneness is all about. Okay, as will all humanity in one day and time. This is a progressive change. You know, this is a painful change. It's going to be a lot of agony and a lot of rebellion, I guess you might say. We're going to try to make that minimal. Because we're changing a religion, a way of life, that has been in place and that has been instilled and has been indoctrinated and placed upon a people for such a period of time in such a masterful way that is really kind of a challenge to break the chains of the psychological slavery, of the spiritual slavery. When it says the truth shall make ye free, and the truth shall make us free, it doesn't mean, it doesn't say set us free, okay, as in releasing us from bondage or a physical bondage. It says make you free. The word make is the significant word here. And what that means is that spiritually you have become enlightened. You are now free of the past bestowed of slavery that has been bestowed upon you, the spiritual bondage, the religious bondage. The chains of the religious bondage is now being broken, and the spiritual freedom is taking its place. And there is a significant difference there, from religion to spirituality. One will confine and confound you in religion, and one will make you free in the spiritual realm. Okay, so this is, and I guess forgive me, folks, but I slip into the spiritual conversation simply because that's who I am. And that's what's really important. That's what it's all about. Let me explain this. I had a friend come up, a gentleman come up that's over this church, and he says, can you explain to me again about what happens when we die? And I said, sure, no problem. He was talking about the spiritual, and I said a very brief prayer, and God, the Hallowed, bestowed upon me to share with him that when we pass from this mortal life, from the mortal realm, we immediately slip into the, or transform, or transcend into the spiritual realm. Okay, now, If we remember when Yeshua was up on the cross, and this is what I gave him kind of an example, which it did not occur, okay, which, I mean, you know, he was up on the cross and all this other kind of stuff, but, you know, at that particular point in time, you know, the words went from red to black, okay, but when he was up on the cross and they, you know, done all these different things to him, he bowed his head and said, "It is finished." Okay, it was an audible voice that could be heard by the disciples and the people that were gathered around at the base of the cross. And when he bowed his head, it says that he gave up the ghost, okay, which is the spirit, that it immediately came up out of his body, okay? It didn't dwell there and go into, like a lot of people believe, that we go into a sleep mode and we just sleep until we're resurrected. Not so the case. It doesn't speak of that, you know, typically in the spiritual realm. When you pass and die in the physical or the mortal sense, your spirit, you know, immediately leaves the body, it immediately comes into the next realm of life. And this is, you can go back and look at some of the ancient teachings and you will see the same, because what they did was they took the spirit at that particular point in time and took it to, like, say, for instance, the Amenta, or, you know, through a passage, you know, into the spiritual world. And it was an immediate transition in the ancient teachings, okay? And this is what takes place. Now, like I explained before and I shared with him, to bring him to the enlightenment, you know, so he could take it back to his congregation, in that, you know, when you rub your feet in the wintertime, when you scrape your bare feet across a carpet or something of that nature, and it happens for me because I'm such a spiritual person and I'm such an energized person in the spirit realm. You know, it happens to me all year round, okay? And it's painful. I'm going to tell you right now, it hurts. You know, but I guess they say it hurts so good because simply I know how strong my energy is. you know, my spiritual energy is very, very vibrant, you know, and what that does, it gives me confirmation. Every time I touch something, you know, I can touch a piece of machinery, or I can touch, you know, some type of metallic object or whatever, you know, something, you know, with the right property. I don't know what that is, but whatever the right metallic property is, it'll shock the fool out of me. I mean, and you can actually see a spark. It hurts, you know, and so much so that a lot of times I have to slap something. I just have to slap it, you know, because, you know, to let the shock go ahead and take place quickly, you know, and then I can touch it. And sometimes, you know, and sometimes it takes a couple times, you know, for it to dissipate to where I can, you know, physically touch it, you see. But what that lets me know, and it reassures me, that the hereafter is real. And my teaching and my ministry and my sharing of information, knowledge, wisdom, spirituality, whatever, so forth, is the most unique than any other, and certainly any other that I've heard, simply because I've heard these things from no other, you know, source other than, you know, the Spirit of God himself. So I know that he's present. I know that he exists because he enlightens my mind and, you know, and my heart with knowledge and wisdom and all these wonderful gifts that he bestows upon me. And I share with other people so that he can do the same, because I'm not, you know, I'm not any different than any other living being. And I hope that mankind can look at that, look at this, and share that amongst all. I don't care what walk of life, what culture you come from, we are all one people. We are all from one source. We all have one spirituality. We all share that. This is how, and this is like I told him, you know, and I share with you again, this is why, you know, he does not want us to create any images of him, anything in the sky, land, or beneath the sea, simply because he is spirit. The Creator is spirit. He is on a spiritual realm. This is the only way, if you think about it, you know, simplistically and logically, this is the only way that he can be in all places at all times, knowing about all things. He has to be a vast spirit to be able to know that, to count the hairs on your head, you know, to know about the sparrow, know about the antelope, know about, you know, the lion in Africa, know about, you know, the eagle up in Alaska, you know, and all these different things, you know, at all one time. He has to be spirit. And if you know that this is the thing that connects us all in the spiritual realm, in the spirit realm, in the energy realm. Okay, all living things have a level of energy, okay, in order to bring forth life. Okay. And this is how it is all connected. All right. So now I shared with him, I want to know what happens when we die. And immediately the spirit comes out of the body to be in the spirit realm. You see a lot of shows on TV where they're trying to use, you know, different types of instruments in the, more like poltergeist or, you know, in the spirit realm, you know, trying to, you know, find spirits and all this other kind of stuff. They're trying to use, you know, meters that would read energy signatures, and they're on the right path. They're looking in the right avenue, but they will never discover what this realm is. They'll never be able to merge the two realms and have a knowing of that realm. Only way that you're going to know about that realm is to enter into that realm. And once entered into that realm, very rarely, you know, does one come back from that existence, from that realm. There has been people that have died, you know, physically and technically, and have come back and shared, you know, their what they saw and different things like that. But they can, you know, they can't merge the two or bridge the two realms. You have people that say that they can, you know, psychics and different things, they can, you know, communicate with spirits and things of that nature. I don't know if they can. I don't know if they can't. I would imagine that they can, because if you pray or if you think about or if you pray or speak out your mouth, you know, spirits hear you. in the spirit realm, the energies that are, you know, evolving and existing around us, they do hear you and see you. You know, they might be loved ones that have passed on or different things like that. But if God so allows it, then, you know, they are still present. They have just left the mortal body and, you know, evolved onto the eternal existence or the eternal realm in the spirit, in the spiritual form, which is a blessing bestowed upon the spirit by God for your good works indeed, you know, in the mortal existence. Okay, we can also, you know, do a bad, mean, or evil mortal existence, have that energy put out. You know, God can also put it out. God can also condemn it, or, you know, put it into damnation for the eternity, which is a very, you can't imagine what that is in the spiritual realm. You cannot fathom, you know, in the human realm what that damnation would be like, because it is an eternal fear, agony, suffering, pain, in another realm, okay, placed in another realm for an eternity. And folks, I don't want that for anyone, but he wanted to know what happens. And so we immediately come out of this body. It is the only, now energy, this energy presence is the only thing that cannot be created, nor can it be destroyed by man. Scientifically speaking, this is what energy, you know, is, and how it is. Now, we can change the shape, we can change the signature of the energy, like, you know, using atom smashers or detonating, you know, atomic bombs or energy type, you know, explosions or pressures or different things like that. And it will certainly dissipate out into the atmosphere. But, you know, that energy is still present in the atmosphere. Okay. It does not die. It is not killed unless God kills it. It will simply, you know, change its signature, its presence, its power, and dissipate into the atmosphere. Okay, so I emphasize with him that we determine in this mortal walk, in this mortal realm, since God gives us the decision to do, you know, the power of the crossroad of right and wrong, the free will, if you is what we call it, a choice, freedom of choice. To do right, to do wrong, it determines our forever existence, okay, how we live in eternity. Good, righteous, live good and righteous in eternity. Can we rest in peace? Now, evil doing, bad thoughts, hard heart, jealousy, anger, you know, all of these different negative spirits, or these negative choices will lead to that in the eternal realm. This is what Yeshua came to teach us. This is exactly what he came to teach us. I take it to a little further, a step further, because, you know, a lot of people need something, you know, a way to confirm a theory or theology. Okay, so I take it into another realm, you know, so that we can, you know, make confirmation through the logic of, say, for instance, a science, you know, or an experiment or something that, you know, can validate and can confirm, you know, the theory. Because if mankind can do that, since we are doubtful of what we see, touch, taste, smell, and things of that nature, you know, if it's beyond that realm, our human limitations, then we have a tendency not to believe it or not to buy into it. But if we can confirm it, you see, it's in the spiritual realm, being able to give confirmation where everyone can be relative and can have the experience of that shock, you see, then it is, you know, more inclined to be believed, you know, by even a non-believer coming across to believing, because this is real, folks. What I share with you is about saving that energy, about saving that soul for the eternal experience, not for the mortal experience. This is a temporary time. We're only talking 70, 80, 90 years, 100, and you become a centurion, then you're blessed. And hopefully you'll be blessed all the days of your life, as I have been. There's no other greater blessing than to be blessed all the days of your life for living right, or being a righteous person. It is the ultimate blessing. You can, you know, monetary money cannot buy this. You know, money cannot create this. You know, I've been low. I've been high. You know, I am. You see? And knowing that when the sun comes up in the morning and I am blessed to witness and to see it, what more can there be? Anything after and beyond that, you know, we can deal with. All right, so sorry to jump into that spiritual realm, spiritual mode, but I had to, I felt, you know, compelled to do so. It has nothing to do with politics. I understand that. But it's important, you know, it's so imperative that we at least know what our choices are in this mortal life and that we can choose to, how we live in the eternal. Okay? It's not a complicated thing. After I told this gentleman that, he was so enlightened and ready to go back and share it and stuff. And he's like, man, this stuff that you share is so simple. Children can even understand this. And I said, yes, and that's who I want you to share it with. You know, because they are critical. They are important. And if they can get it at a young age, because they too have that shock, that energy, that spirit, and then they can, at that point in time, when they say, oh, wow, this is relative to me. I got the shock. I got it. It's me. Then they can determine from that point on how they're going to evolve in the mortal realm to create their eternal realm. You see, that's what this is all about. This realm, the mortal realm, is not for the mortal existence. It's for the determination of the eternal existence. You see, this is what this is all about. This is what Yeshua taught. This is what all the people of righteousness have taught, you know, in this mortal existence. It's never been about this life. It's about the next life or the afterlife. So anyhow, that's that. I happen to be watching, Fox News religiously. I mean, say religiously because that is a religion. It's a repetitive type thing. And I seen Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton campaigning. I can't remember exactly where they're at, but they're starting off their campaign tour. I think there was like 6,000 people there. They look very presidential, folks. I'm tell you right now. I try to stay in the center on politics, but by goodness, she looked pretty doggone presidential. And Bill Clinton's still sitting there, you know, all grayed up, whited out, hair whited out. He looked real good. You know, they look real, really, really good. And the issue with the Clintons, you know, with all this money and stuff that they can pull, you know, at any given time. Now, people don't give you massive amount of money unless they, one, trust you, and two, like you, you see, and believe in what you can do with that money. Now, Mr. and Mrs. Clinton are deal brokers, folks. I don't know if you really realize this or not. Okay, since I got 90 seconds, and this is all perfect, you know, love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do, simply because God is love, okay? Spirit, God is spirit, and God is love. Let me just interject that. But the Clintons are huge deal brokers, folks. I mean, and this is very powerful, you know, because now think about it. If you're a country, you're moving into globalization or global trade, what is the foundation of global trade? Deals, deal brokering, power brokering, positioning, and all of these other type of things. This is why the Clintons have, you know, influence even in Russia in terms of their being able to buy, you know, different types of uranium and different types of weapon-grade plutonium and different things like that that they can create, you know, weapons of mass destruction. Yes, they're involved in that. They're very involved in that. There is a committee, a security committee or council that approves and disapproves all that type of transfer around the world. And they are very big players in the decisions that take place in those particular committees. You can best believe that. All right. the powers of the world, the people that have the monetary wealth in the world, you know, they look to the Clintons and in terms of, you know, being able to bring forward this new change or this new evolution of humanity, this transfer of wealth, as a lot of people call it, or the emergence of the emerging markets, you know, globalization. Just as I am able to, you know, get on this broadcast and be heard instantaneously around the world, you can do business in that same manner now around the world. You don't have to be in China or in Africa or in Egypt or whatever the case may be to do business there, okay? That's what globalization is all about. Now, they got a fast-track initiative that they're talking about. Folks, this is going to go. This is going to go. You find it a little bit unique to find that, you know, a person like Paul Ryan or the Republican Party get behind such initiative, such an initiative. And it's called the Fast Track. Let me see. I wrote it down here. I don't know where I wrote it. It's called the Fast Track Trade Authority. All right, FTTA. You're going to see this thing come to pass. Okay, when you have people like, you know, Paul Ryan speaking for it, the Republican Party speaking for it, you have some Democrats, you know, saying that they oppose it and things of that nature, you know, looking at it, you know, what's, you know, they're talking about making it more fair and more fair. And I don't know if that's a political show or what, but this is something that is going to come to pass, is going to buy in, because like you've heard my previous and prior broadcast, you know, with this transformation, there will be stabilization, okay? There will be untapped markets that we'll be able to tap into to be a supplier nation or an outsourcing nation. Now, will our currency power, you know, have to go down, you know, have to, you know, come? Yes, it will. This is why they're raising the minimum wage, because the actual value of the dollar will be decreasing here shortly to create a balance globally, you know, so that we can do a global trade. So we can trade when the currency or the trade mechanism is more on a what they call on par or one to one, it's easier to facilitate trade, you know, around the world, because everything is on the same trade platform. Okay, they don't have to go through different calculations and variances to complete a transaction. It's simply more of a one-to-one type of an exchange. Okay, so this is why this will take place. And moving toward the one world order or one world government, this must be in place. This must take place. There will be a world currency, and we're not going to get into that right now. I don't want to, you know, create any type of whatever. I do know what it is, and it will come to pass. They're kind of, and when you're looking at the electronic money, what do they call it? I can't think of it, but it's electronic money that you're trying to implement it and things of that nature. Now, this is going to get there, but that's not none of the ones that's on the that you can buy right now is the actual one that it's going to eventually be. None of them out there right now, is not going to be the one that they, you know, that's going to eventually be. But it has already been designated. They talked about, and Richard Clinton, one of her platforms is she wants big infrastructure projects. This needs to take place. This country needs big infrastructure repair, you know, so we can make it better for the next generation and the generations to come. That's everywhere. There's a lot of money in that. I don't see why we would hold back on that. Pre-care and kindergarten programs, we got to get it. We got to have that. Give our kids a fresh, you know, a good start off, you know, in the whole, you know, realm of their existence, and it proves to be better in the long run. It's like an investment. It's definitely an investment. The clean air, we got to have that. We got to have, you know, stop using old technologies, fossil technologies, everything. We have to evolve in our intellectual capabilities in terms of, you know, being able to move people and masses, you know, around the country and the world. we have to do it in a better way. In the ancient time, they had air cars. I mean, come on, I mean, you know, cars that would actually, you know, push against the natural polarity of the center of the earth, of gravity, and be able to lift up, and then they use air jets to propel it. I mean, that's some heavy stuff, because it took place, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and here we are today still dealing with oil and gas. You know, come on, let's get there. Our first engine created, which had enough power to move a freight train around the track at a very recognizable speed, was water, was steam, the steam engine. So if we could do it then, we can certainly perfect it now. Okay, but there's too much greed involved in the middle. So we'll get there. We'll get there. Debt-free college programs. Where does this not make sense? You know, if Canada and China can provide for debt-free college, why can't we do it in the United States? When actually the debt is nothing more than the paper that it's printed on, and that debt, electronically or paper, is worth nothing. It really amounts to nothing. So we can simply just do that. I want everybody to go to their Google browser and put in 10 things every American should know about the Federal Reserve. 10 things that every American should know about the Federal Reserve. And I want you to read that. It will show you exactly how much money is worth. American money is worth. Okay. Now, as you well know, I'm an agitator on the welfare system, the prison system. We need to fix those programs. It's never designed to be a handout. It was designed to be a hand up. So we have to work on how to, you know, get people, you know, off those programs. And I do believe with globalization, it's going to allow them and allow us to do so on a greater, because we'll be an outsourcing. There'll be more jobs in this effort. You know, they need, you know, all kinds of materials, you know, lumber, sheetrock, asphalt, faucets, screws, nuts, bolts, you name it, to build nations. And this is where American ingenuity and technology will come into play to be able to be an outsourcer nation or a supplier nation for the developing markets or the developing nations and stuff. So this is how it plays out in the long run. We need to stop all these different, cut on the TV and, you know, did you have a hip replacement or a transvaginal mess or something like that or whatever? You know, call this law firm and we'll go sue them and stuff. You don't even have to come to court. We'll sue them and pay that. That's got to stop. This lawsuits, rogue lawsuits and random law, that's got to come to an end. That's nonsense right there. People take a chance when they, you know, when they're undergoing these procedures. Medicine is an ongoing science or ongoing, that's why they call it a practice. It is not perfected. It's a practice. And we need to institute, you know, policies and guidelines, you know, in cases to be adjudicated that will allow doctors to continue to in their practice and not be cut off, you know, by lawsuits and different things like that, greed and, you know, money and all that kind of stuff. We need to put a cap on that type of stuff. This is what they do in Canada. This is how they are. Canada, this is how they're able to provide for free health care and education and different things like that through control mechanisms. There's no control mechanisms here in the United States, and we have to get to that. We have to do that. After the broadcast today on 5-5, they said, buy land in Belize. Why do you think they're doing that? You know, Belize investment, Panama investment, and all these different places investing. Getting ready to go, folks. They're getting ready to go. ISIS and Obama, the United States, like I told you, they're sending 400 troops over there to be advisors in Iraq. They're doing that for a reason. They're going to set up military bases over there. This is all a part of globalization, folks. This is all a part of getting the land ready. Contractors can't go over there and work and develop the land and develop, you know, the nations without bullets flying and mortar rounds and all that other kind of nonsense flying around. So this is why we're in there, to quell all of that activity, stop it. When people are brought forth prosperity or brought to prosperity, they put down their weapons, their guns and RPGs and everything like that. They pick up shovels, hammers, nails, and other things like that, things of productivity and positive growth and development. Is what they turn their attention to, because everybody wants a better way of life. Okay, it's simply It's as simple as that. This is prosperity that we can bring, you know, to and throughout the world. So anyhow, that's my broadcast for today. Take care of one another. Love one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do, simply because God is love. Take care for now, and so long.
Nothing you can sing that can't be sung.